listener, if we can add maybe to the beginning of the second creation phase or whatever, and that disclaimer, whatever you call it. No, not a disclaimer. No, not a disclaimer. The thing there about cosmology versus astronomy. Why I mention this over and over again is that I really consider it very important for the understanding the attempt at trying to understand and explain the creation and the cosmos described in the Bhagavatam in the terms of and within the framework of modern physicalist science forces by assumption, I don't know how to express this, but I can try to get it across, clean it up later. A conceptual framework or understanding, attempt at understanding things that is largely built by people subscribing to the physicalist way of building up theories of understanding this world, such as, for instance, the reductionistic theory of everything built on atoms. In a rather mechanistic way, and also working like a machinery. However, that way we understand, at least from the Puranas and similar older cultures, is a flawed and actually rather materialistic way to approach approach in the first way, first hand. So we need to be careful. What this entire cosmos actually is, it's a magical fantastic divine creation working in ways that are simply mystical to us and incomprehensible to us. Now, a materialistic scientist is trying to understand the incomprehensible. Which someone could say is a heroic act, but others could say is futile, is an attitude of hubris, whatever. And it tends to lead to basically bluffing and pretending to almost know it all. Something like this, a bit to reformulate. Or maybe I'm just trying to get my point across. So once we understand the actual cosmology of the Puranas and I would say the life-based cosmology, all the parameters of knowledge shift. It's an entirely different paradigm, which I hope we can see here as we're studying the Puranic cosmology that in this description of the creation we don't find atoms and molecules and this and that, solar systems and galaxies and but we find a general description of how the mastermind behind all this has manifested the creation we see around us. And this includes the admittance or the allowance of understandings that it's all fantastic, magical, and incomprehensible to us, as hard and sour as that insight or bitter may be to someone who believes in materialistic science. You can look at anything in your sight right now. I'm watching a tree in our garden. We know a bit about how the tree grows, that it comes from a seed, the photosynthesis, whatever you call it, so on, synthesis. But overall, it's a mystery how a little seed can make a tree that makes seeds. How it all came about in the first place, and what it is, the energetic workings and structure that makes all this happen continuously with such precision. Or looking at our own bodies. What to speak of looking out into the greater cosmic body. So, I believe that in order to move on here with our understanding of the Bhagavad cosmology, we need to cast off a lot of those biases, those attachments to or feelings of responsibility to reconcile and make it all fit with the physicalist theories of today. They are simply very erroneous, speculative and created by people who really don't know very much at all. Something along that line.